Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read verses 13 through 19 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then ye also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And let's finish on verse 19 together. Ready? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you that we don't pray to a statue. Thank you that we don't pray to a human being that died and whose bones are in a tomb. For we have Jesus Christ, your Son, God in the flesh, who not only died but resurrected and conquered death so that we could live forever. Father, please, give us a holy hush. May we focus on the preaching of the Word of God to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work through the man of God in our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, of course, we all think of the day, and what a great day. It's Resurrection Sunday. Earlier, we read a passage of Scripture, and that passage was about the resurrection. And so we will focus on the resurrection today, not just because it's Easter, but because it is foundational to the cause of Christ and to the gospel. If you remove the resurrection from the Bible, it becomes just like any other book. If you remove the resurrection, man is just like any other animal. We die with no eternal hope. If a person does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. You must believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead to be saved. There are many doctrines in the Bible that are important to us, but oh my, is the doctrine of the resurrection just a key doctrine. In the days of the apostles, there were those who denied the resurrection. And what we just read a few moments ago, together as a congregation from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is Paul taking, he has been taken by God under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show the people of his day what the results would have been had Jesus not resurrected from the grave. Well, we don't think about it a lot, but what would it be like? What would Christianity or whatever, what would religion be like had Jesus Christ not been resurrected from the grave? And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, no resurrection to Christianity would be equal to no Super Bowl for football. No resurrection to Christianity would be equal to no Indy 500 for the race fans. No resurrection to Christianity would be equal to no World Series for baseball. No resurrection to Christianity would be equal to no Kentucky Derby for horse race fans. No resurrection to Christianity would be equal to no Wimbledon for the tennis fans. No resurrection to Christianity would be like, it's like the hard drive of your computer. You've got to have it. It's just necessary. It's the transmission of your vehicle that moves things forward. The resurrection is a big deal. Now, I said this earlier in the introductory parts of our church service. There are some that celebrate Easter and the resurrection once a year. Around our church, we celebrate it every week of the year. We're always talking about the resurrection. Why? It is just so key in so many things. The Apostle Paul said this, But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and when we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He was saying, if Christ be not risen, you've got a mess on your hands. You've got a mess on your hands. I want from that passage of scripture to tell you a little bit about this idea. I call the sermon, if Christ be not risen. If Christ be not risen. Now, first of all, may I say, if there is no resurrection, then we have no Savior. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. What's it saying? Hey, Jesus is the Savior. We look to Jesus as our Savior. And if there was no resurrection, then we have no Savior. The gospel, folks, when you hear the term gospel, the gospel is described in three parts. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And folks, if Jesus was not resurrected, the gospel is no good to us. We had to have a Savior that died for us, that was buried for us, and was resurrected for us. You see, without the resurrection, he's not the Savior. He would have been just like any other good man. But wait a minute. He's not just another good man. He was a holy, perfect, sinless Son of God that resurrected from the dead. Without the resurrection, all the songs that we sing about a risen Savior, they wouldn't mean anything. Without the resurrection, God's Son is dead. God's Son is dead. The resurrection was according to the scriptures. You could read the Old Testament scriptures and the prediction of Jesus Christ coming. It predicted not only that he would come and die for us, but that he would be resurrected. You find it in Psalm chapter 2. You find it in Psalm chapter 16. Thank God for that resurrection. It has something to do with the forgiveness of our sins. Hey, folks, without the resurrection, there's no need of a thing that we call soul winning. You see, at our church, we go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And we tell them that he died for them, was buried for them, and resurrected for them. Folks, without the resurrection, we might as well call off this thing called soul winning. Brother Victor Myers and I were out soul winning Thursday night. Talked to an old man by the name of Samuel. And we asked Samuel if he died today, if he'd go to heaven. And Samuel said, I don't know that I would. I said, how would you like to know that? He said, I think I'd like to know that. I told him about the death. I told Samuel about the burial. I told Samuel about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said, do you believe it? He said, I believe it. I said, would you like to ask him to save you? He said, I sure would. We prayed the sinner's prayer and old Samuel got born again. Samuel looked up from that prayer and he said, well, that was a fun prayer. I said, it sure was a fun prayer. Why? I have a resurrected Savior and we need a Savior. Oh, it was kind of a rough week. On Tuesday, we performed a funeral for one of the little ones from here in our church. A little boy, 10 months old, had passed. His name was Noah. I did the funeral. Now, Noah went to heaven. Of course, Noah's in heaven. But I told everybody during the funeral, I said, folks, I want you to understand, little Noah is not there in that casket. Little Noah is already in heaven. The angels came and got him and took him to heaven. Hey, and Noah went to heaven, resurrected from the dead. Why? Because we have a resurrected Savior that paved the way. And at the end of that funeral, I said, how many of you would like to see Noah again someday? How many of you would like to know that if you died today, you would go to heaven? And if that be the case, you need to ask the resurrected Savior to come into your heart and save you. And right there at little Noah's funeral, 10 people prayed and asked Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, to come into their heart and save them. Let me tell you something. If there's no resurrection, we have no Savior. Oh, but I've got good news for you today. I've got a Savior. I've got a Savior. But not only that, Paul said, if no resurrection, then there's nothing to preach. There's nothing to preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Huh? Our preaching is vain. Without the resurrection, our preaching, it's just entertainment time. It's just story time. When I was growing up, you could go down to the public library on Saturday, and for about an hour, a little old fat lady would sit and read us stories. And boy, we liked it. We liked to go to story time. My mom used to say, "Oh, son, it would be so good for you to be familiar with the books." That's not what my mom wanted. She wanted an hour off. She just wanted somebody else to have to attend to the little runt is what she wanted. But boy, I would go for story time every once in a while, and this lady would read to us stories. But let me tell you something, folks. The story of Jesus Christ is not just another story in a series of many. It is the story of stories. And hey, look, when I preach, I'm not just telling a story that is a fictional make-believe. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's real. And Paul said, though, he said, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain." If the central theme of our preaching is not true, then the whole thing is a scam. But Jesus, it's true. He did resurrect. If Jesus did not resurrect, every sermon is a waste of the preacher's time. Every sermon is a waste of the listener's time. I thank God for this pulpit. You know, if you go around our church, you're going to find a lot of pulpits. They're not all big and bulky like this one, but they are everywhere. Do you know that at this church there are over 100 pulpits of wood? What for? For the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, but look, if Jesus did not resurrect, we might as well gather all the pulpits, make a bonfire out here and roast weenies. But the resurrection's true. You know that every PA system in every church in the world is wasted electronics if there's no resurrection? God said, if he be not raised, then your preaching's a waste of time. It's vain. Every pastor study is a waste of time if he be not resurrected. Every preaching CD that you have is a waste of time if he's not resurrected. If the resurrection is not true, all the preachers of history were just loudmouth idiots. I mean, the Bible says, if he be not resurrected, our preaching is vain. That means the old apostle Paul, he was just blowing smoke if there's no resurrection. Peter and Timothy, Apollos and John and James, they were wasting their time in their preaching. I'm thinking of the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great church builder in England, and Jack Hiles and J. Frank Norris and the Lester Olof that the girls sang that number from his history. Hey, you know, all of it, all those great preachers and all that great preaching, it's all wasted if there's no resurrection. But let me say to everybody in here and everybody that hears this sermon, keep on preaching. It's not a waste of your time. I started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. I came in contact with the resurrected Savior. I've preached over 35,000 sermons in my lifetime, and not a one of the 35,000 was wasted or vain. Why? I serve a risen Savior today. You see, Paul said, if he be not resurrected, you have no Savior. Paul said, if he be not resurrected, you have no sense. It makes no sense at all to have all this preaching. Oh, thank God, though, he's resurrected. But not only that, Paul said this, if there's no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, he said, and your faith is also in vain. If your faith is in a dead man, Christian, what use is your faith? That didn't make him any better than us. Hey, you say, I have faith in his ability to save others. Well, wait a minute. If he didn't resurrect, your faith in his ability to save other people, that's wasted faith. If he be not resurrected, you say, I have faith that I have family members that have passed on and they're in heaven. But wait a minute. If he be not resurrected, your faith in your family going to heaven, that's wasted faith. If he be not resurrected, he said, hey, you say, I believe he's going to take me to heaven. You have faith in him taking you to heaven someday. But wait a minute. If he be not resurrected, your faith in heaven is vain. It's wasted. It's a hoax. If your faith in a resurrected Savior is spoiled because he did not raise from the dead, then all your faith is spoiled in anything that he promised. If there be no resurrection, this whole thing of Christianity is a joke. It's a joke. Hey, look, I have faith that he is able to meet my needs. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that that faith is a worthy investment. You say, why? He is not dead. He is resurrected. You see, folks, what good is it going to do for you and I to have faith in a dead man? What good does faith in a dead man do? It does you no good. But wait a minute. I don't serve a dead man. I have faith that He can meet my needs, and He's alive and well. I have faith that He can heal, and He is alive and well. I have faith that He can protect us, and He is alive and well. I have faith that He loves us, and He is alive and well. I have faith that He can restore our lives, and He is alive and well. The Apostle Paul said, look, folks, if He be not resurrected, your faith in the whole story and the whole thing is a waste. But thank God, our faith in God is not a waste. You see, if He be not resurrected, we don't have a Savior. What Paul said. If He be not resurrected, we have no reason to have preaching. Paul said, if He be not resurrected, then our faith is in vain. But not only that, Paul said this, number four, he said, if no resurrection, then there's no truth in what the prophets have said. Listen, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God. Now, here's what happened. Paul was used of God as a prophet, a New Testament prophet. There are many in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus Christ and promoted Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, hey, we're virtually false witnesses. Those of us that are prophets that presented to mankind through the inspiration of God's leading in the scripture, we presented Jesus Christ. Hey, we didn't tell the truth if He be not resurrected. If Jesus did not resurrect, then the prophets were liars. Moses must have been a liar. David must have been a liar. If Jesus didn't resurrect, Jeremiah, if you knew the Old Testament writings of Jeremiah, he time and time again prophesied the coming Messiah. But look, if Jesus be not resurrected, Jeremiah was a liar. Isaiah was ridiculous. Daniel would have been better off being eaten in the lion's den. But in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Daniel, and in the books written by Moses, and the books written by David, they talked about a risen Savior, and thank God, everything they predicted about Him did come true. But Paul said, look, if He did not resurrect, all those prophets that we depend on, they were all just full of bananas. They weren't any good to us. You see, if He be not resurrected, Peter was dishonest, a false leader, and he was a liar. Paul was a deceptive manipulator if Jesus be not resurrected. I thank God for John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But let me tell you something. God used John to pen John 3:16. John 3:16 is no good to us, folks, if Jesus Christ be not resurrected. Because basically John 3:16 is telling us that Jesus died for us, was buried for us, and He was resurrected for us so we could be born again. That was a demonstration of the love of God, which is what John 3:16 is all about. Hey, if He be not resurrected, you might as well take John 3:16 out of the Bible and throw it in the trash. But let me tell you something, my friend. Keep John 3:16 in there. He did resurrect. I serve a living Savior. You know, this is telling us that if He be not resurrected, the prophets were just a waste. They were telling stories. They were not truthful. There are 39 books of the Old Testament. You start at Genesis and you go all the way to the book of Malachi. There are 27 books of the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation. Every one of them talk about the Savior. Every one of them would uplift the truth of a risen Savior. And thank God, all 66 books of the Bible are valid. All 66 books of the Bible are true. Why? We have a risen Savior. If Christ be not risen, then Noah's ark, which pictured a salvation in Noah's day, might as well have gone ahead and sunk in the flood. But Christ is risen. He's risen. Not only that, if there be no resurrection, then we really don't have any need for Christianity, the things attached to it. We don't have much need for the Bible. The Bible is supposed to be a book that is fully true, 100% true. So if Christ be not risen, then the Bible's not true. We don't need all this Christianity stuff. Look, folks, if Christ be not risen, we don't need Christmas. Now, the retailers that want to make money, and that's what it's all about, it may be big to them. That's about the only reason why some of those lost people out there want to keep Christmas alive, just so they can make money off of it. But let me tell you, hey, if Christ be not risen, we don't need Christmas. If Christ be not risen, we don't need Easter. If Christ be not risen, we don't need to have revival services. We don't need to have Bible school for the children. Hey, if Christ be not risen, we don't need to have, you don't need that old King James Bible that you've got there in your hands. You don't need to have a conference and preach the Bible. If Christ be not risen, we're wasting our time. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And it's telling us you're just wasting your time. But wait, we're not wasting our time. Paul said to a group of people, he said, now you listen to me. If Christ be not risen, there is no Savior. If Christ be not risen, there's nothing to preach. If Christ be not risen, our faith is wasted. If Christ be not risen, then everything every prophet's ever said is a lie and it's not the truth. If Christ be not risen, we don't need the Bible. But wait a minute, folks. He has risen. He has risen. We serve a living Savior. Not only that, the Bible says if Christ be not risen, there's no one to trust. There's no one to trust. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, and if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. Now, this is different than the verse I read to you a moment ago. I read to you a moment ago in verse number 14, the word faith. These two words are just a little different. It says, if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. The word vain here is the word meaning your faith is overthrown. It's basically saying that if Christ be not risen, it causes an overthrow of the entire confidence that we have in Christianity and the Bible. If Christ be not risen, folks, Christianity's a failure. We're banking on something that's not true. Now, how can we bank on someone and something that's not true? Hey, if Christ be not risen, Christianity's defeated. He's still in the grave. But thank God, he had victory over the grave. He had victory over death. He had victory over the grave. Folks, Christianity's not a hoax. You say, why? Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is living. Look, if Christ be not risen, Christianity is just make-believe. If Christ be not risen, the story of Jesus Christ is no more important to us than Alice in Wonderland. If Christ be not risen, look, you might as well go ahead and read about Cat in the Hat. You might as well go ahead and believe that Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. Because the truth is, if Christ be not risen, that makes that book just a story. And it's not just a story. That book is the book of God. That's the book that records the history of what God wanted man to know about the supernatural workings of God. And God sent His Son to be born of a virgin, to die for us, to be buried for us, not to stay in the grave, but to get up out of the grave. And God said, I'll finish the whole thing off with a resurrected Savior to make sure you all know it's all worthwhile. It's all worthwhile. You see, if there's no resurrection, we can't trust this book. Thank God there's a resurrection. Thank God we can trust the Word of God. Paul said this. He said, number seven, if there's no resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, ye are yet in your sins. See, if Christ can't get out of the grave, He can't get us out of our sins. If Jesus does not resurrect, we're lost and we are still in our sins. If there's no resurrection, the maniac of Gadara, his experience was a fake. If there is no resurrection of Christ, the man by the name of Saul that had a Damascus Road experience with Jesus and later became Paul, that was a big made up fable. If there be no resurrection, why? Folks, Christianity, we depend on the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel was all about. His death, burial, and resurrection. What was He doing? He was paying our penalty, our sin debt. It was all about our forgiveness. If He did not resurrect from the grave, the stories of the people whose lives were changed because of Jesus Christ, it's just a bunch of hot air. But wait a minute, we do have a resurrected Savior. The maniac of Gadara did have a miraculous change. Mary Magdalene went from being a whore to being a wonderful Christian lady. God did miraculously change her around. I remember when I was 16, I was lost and on my way to hell. And I remember I needed to get born again. I had some things in my life that needed to change, and I know they needed to change, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. He forgave me of my sin, and all of a sudden the things that were hard to overcome in my life became easier to overcome. Why? I had been forgiven. I had been placed upon a rock. It had been made so that I had the help of God through my resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, if there be no resurrection, there's no forgiveness. If there be no resurrection, Peter's transformation from being a fisherman that was catching bass and trout, he became a fisher of men. That transformation, that was nothing. But you see, Peter did accept the Savior. There was a miraculous forgiving of his sin that turned him around. You just think about the 3,000 people that were baptized, saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost. Had there been no resurrection, what good was that story of those 3,000? Those people getting baptized might as well done that. I think it's stupid, that thing called the polar plunge. Y'all heard about that thing called the polar plunge where people go down, there's still ice on the water, and they go down and jump in a lake. I tell some people to go jump in a lake. I don't mind that. Well, the day of Pentecost, that there were people that got saved and baptized because of what? A resurrected Savior. But if not, what's the difference? Who cares what happened on the day of Pentecost? But thank God, we serve a resurrected Savior. If there's no resurrection, you are 100% unforgiven and on your way to hell. Because you needed the resurrection to seal the deal on your salvation. That was the last step of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, if there be no resurrection, then there's no resurrection for anybody else. If there's no resurrection of Christ, there's no resurrection for any other human being. 1 Corinthians 15:18, this is what Paul said. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What's he saying? He said, if Jesus didn't resurrect all the people that were trusting him, that they might be resurrected and taken to heaven, they're perished. They're perished. If Christ be not risen, then Moses is dead in a grave. If Christ be not risen, then Elijah is dead in a grave. If Christ be not risen, Mary, the mother of Christ, is dead and in a grave. If Christ be not risen, then Peter is dead in a grave. But we all know that Peter is alive and well and attending to the gates of heaven. Look in any joke book. If Christ be not risen, then why would anybody else be risen? If the Son of God is not risen from the grave, how could God allow for anybody else to raise from the grave? Let me tell you something, folks. I am 100% sure beyond any shadow of a doubt that Christ is risen, and I have a grandmother that's in heaven right now. I have a grandma in heaven that looks down as I preach, and she is very pleased with what she sees today. I have a grandpa that's in heaven. My pastor of many, many years passed away about 13 years ago. He is in heaven today, and I know that he is. Hey, Christ is risen, and my grandma went to heaven, and my grandpa went to heaven, and my preacher went to heaven. Mrs. Owens and I, our very first baby, passed away. And honey, we have a baby in heaven today. And if Christ be not risen, there would not be anybody that would raise from the grave. If God could not get his son up from the grave, how could anybody else? But honey, we've got a baby in heaven today. I'm sure it's going to be our smartest child. Not much competition. I think of all the saints that have gone on. All those that have stepped over and into glory land. I'll tell you something. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a heaven. I know there's a heaven. And I'm not depending on what man said. I'm depending on what Jesus did. He died. He was buried. And he was resurrected. And your loved ones and my loved ones and the people that we've said, hey, those that we have said goodbye to here on this earth, it wasn't really goodbye. It was I'll see you later. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, then nobody else is risen. But I know the others are in heaven. Why? I know he was resurrected. I went to a public school. I wanted to go to the Christian school, but I couldn't. I couldn't. My parents weren't in church, and they didn't understand. And I went to a public school. In high school, we had a class. It was called Poe, Death, and Humor. It was about Edgar Allan Poe. It was about death. It was about humor. Where in the world they got something like that? What educational value was in it? I don't know. But one day we were talking about death. And the subject of death came up as my teacher, who was an atheist, stood before me. And she said, "At death, students, you become maggot meat." Maggot meat. Well, I was born again Christian, and I'm glad that I was. And I was very strong in my faith. I wasn't real smart, but I was strong in my faith. I shouldn't have said it. But at lunch, I told a kid, I said, "She's the one that's going to become maggot meat, and she's going to be cooked to well done, I got a feeling." At death, the Christian is resurrected, and they go to be with the Savior. If you have a baby and they need to step out, please do that for me, if you will. Listen, folks, I serve a resurrected Savior. I serve a resurrected Savior. The Apostle Paul said this. He said there are some people in this day that they're doubting. They're wondering about this thing of the resurrection. Paul said, let me tell you all something. He said, if there be no resurrection, then there is no Savior. He said, if there be no resurrection, there's nothing worth our preaching. He said, if there be no resurrection, there's nothing in which to put our faith. He said, if there be no resurrection, he said, all the prophets were liars. He said, if there be no resurrection, there's no need for Christianity and everything attached to it. He said, if there be no resurrection, who could we trust? He said, if there be no resurrection, there is no forgiveness. He said, if there be no resurrection, he said that there's no resurrection for anybody else. He also said this. He said, if there be no resurrection, Christians are in worse shape than the world. Christians are in worse shape than the world. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What was he saying? Paul was saying, look, if this thing of the resurrection isn't true, we as Christians are a bunch of idiots. If he be not risen, we're a joke. If he be not risen, we are most miserable. We are more miserable than those who never believed. If Christ be not risen, we've been sold up the river. If Christ be not risen, our future has been, we're delusional. If Christ be not risen, all of our sacrifice for Him has been a waste. If Christ be not risen, then we've been cheated. If Christ be not risen, we've been duped. If Christ be not risen, somebody sold us a wooden nickel. If Christ be not risen, then we sure have wasted a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of faith, and a lot of life. But let me tell you something, folks. Christ has been risen. He rose from the grave. He rose from the grave. You know, Paul told these people, he said, look, you're right. If Christ be not risen, we've been fooled. Let me tell you something. For those that say, I don't believe he got up from the grave, wonder if you're wrong. If you're wrong, my belief isn't doing me any harm. But if you're wrong, your disbelief is going to send you straight to hell. Hey, Christ has risen. We have a Savior. We have a reason to preach. Our faith is not in vain. The prophets were dependable. The Bible and Christianity are the right way of life. We can trust Christ. We can be forgiven. There is life after death and resurrection. We are in better shape than the lost. No doubt about it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend to you that you get saved. Now, let me be honest with you. Boy, there are a lot of people that teach a lot of things about salvation. I don't want to teach you the Baptist way. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody does right all the time. If you'll accept that, say, yep, I'm a sinner. The Bible teaches us that there is a penalty for our sin. Look right at me. Don't disturb. This is the most important part of the service. Young people, look right this way. The Bible tells us that there is a penalty for our sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. We have all sinned and there's a penalty for our sin. That is death and hell separated from God for all eternity. But wait a minute. Jesus Christ loved you and he died for you and he paid your penalty for you. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. And Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. And he came along and he said, if you'll ask me to forgive you of your sin, if you'll ask me to come into your heart and be your Savior, I will save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, there's a baptistry right there. And let me say to everybody in this building, that baptistry has never saved anybody. Never. You don't get saved by getting baptized. You get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this is a Baptist church. That's, you just do that after you get saved as a step of obedience. If you went to some church somewhere where somebody told you, you need to give a bunch of money to the church to get saved, they lied to you. You don't give money to the church to get saved. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, if somebody told you, you have to clean your life up until you're perfected to go to heaven, somebody lied to you. You can't clean your life up till you're perfect. Jesus saves you as a gift. Then you try to get your life cleaned up thereafter, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. The way to get to heaven, there is only one way. That is realizing you're a sinner, that there is a penalty for your sin, that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. You turn to him and say, God, I'm sorry that I sinned against you. I accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sin. At that moment, God saves you. That's not the Baptist way or the Catholic way or the Pentecostal way or the Methodist way. That's the Bible way. That's the Bible way, and you must be born again. And the resurrection is what capped off your gospel, death, burial, resurrection. If you're not saved today, you got to get saved. You got to trust Christ as Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, you say, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. We're going to have a thing called an altar call. What that means is in a minute the choir is going to sing. In a minute we're going to stand. And when we stand, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure if you died today, you go to heaven. Won't you leave your seat? You walk toward the front. There'll be men standing down front. You walk up to them and say, I want to be saved. Someone will take a Bible and show you how in just a few minutes you can trust Christ as your Savior and you can leave here on your way to heaven. I know there are a lot of people that have experienced a lot of religious things. I'm not talking about all those. I'm talking about if you died today, have you trusted Jesus Christ plus nothing else? You trusted Christ as Savior. You say, I've not done that. Oh, take care of it today. I've told you the truth today. You can't join this church and get saved. You can't get baptized and get saved. You can't give money and get saved. You can't turn over a new leaf and get saved. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you trust Him 100%. That's it. That's all that can get you to heaven. There are many people in here. You'd say, preacher, thanks for being honest. Thanks for not telling me the Baptist way. Thanks for telling me the truth. And I have. And you say, that's what I need. I need that salvation that's taught in the Bible. I've never done it. I need to do it so I can go to heaven someday. Who here would say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to accept that gift of salvation. Preacher, pray for me. That's what I need today. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. That's what I need. I see that hand and that hand. Say, I need to get saved today. I need to trust Christ today. I need to be born again. I need to accept the resurrected Savior. Good. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say that's God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say that God bless you. I see that hand. And another. And another. You say that's what I need. God bless you. I see that. I see your hand. God bless you. Many hands. Hands all over the place. Just go ahead. Some of you on the inside, you're getting a tug saying you don't know if you die today, you go to heaven. Put your hand up. Just go ahead and do it. That's God speaking to your heart. That's God speaking to your heart. Put your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. That's what I need. I need salvation. I need salvation. Some of you are decent people. But we're not talking about being decent. We're talking about salvation. You say, that's what I need. I need to accept that free gift of salvation. Not done it, but I need to. Who else? You'll raise your hand and say, that's me. I need, God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. I see that hand in the balcony. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, here's what's going to happen. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. We're all going to stand. The men that are sitting on this platform and a couple of others will come down front. They'll post themselves on the lower floor down front at the aisles. Men, you get to your spot quickly and be observant to what's going on. If you're not saved and you raise your hand, or you should have raised your hand and you didn't, you come, you walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. We won't embarrass you. That's not our point. We'll show you how you can leave this building today having trusted the resurrected Savior. And you can go to heaven someday when you die. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play.